All right, Psalm 24. All right, Psalm 24, let's establish who owns everything. It says the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Four quick points here. The first is simple. God owns everything. God owns everything. The earth is the Lord's. This statement, it establishes who God is. He owns everything. He owns the creation. The Hebrew word here, Yahweh, it sort of gives this idea that God, who is self-existent and the eternal creator, is in charge of everything. This is good for us, right? This should remind us that everything in the natural world, the land, the seas, from the vast galaxies to the smallest little creatures, nothing is autonomous, but everything belongs to God. This should shift our perspective, right? Because that means that we don't really possess anything. We're only stewards here on this earth. We don't own anything. We're just here to sort of be good stewards. We don't own this building. We're just to be good stewards of it. You don't own your home. You're only a steward of it. Even the earth, we don't own it. And this keeps us from being exploitive, exploiting things and taking advantage of others and people, because we understand that everything, God owns it all. He's in charge of it all. And it's all here. We are caretakers. We're not owners of the earth. We should be taking care of everything that we have. Approaching life this way, it just gives us the right perspective. Amen? Amen. This invites us to let go of control and to embrace gratitude. You know, when you're trying to hold on to things and control things, it's hard to be grateful. But boy, when you realize that it all belongs to God anyway, then you can just go, well, God, thank you for giving it to me for a little while. And you took it away. Well, amen. Thank you, God, for that too. God, you are in charge of all of it. These are not my kids. These are God's kids. Everything, it all belongs to God. It's a call to live with open hands, offering whatever we have to others, living a life where our hands are always open, never closed, but always open, because we know that God, at the end of the day, owns it all. Again, this challenges us, because we have a tendency to want to exploit things. We have a tendency to sort of want to take advantage. We want to sort of find the easy way around or cut corners, or we're just exploitive in our very nature. And when we don't understand who owns it all, we do exploit. We take advantage of. But when we know that it's God's, we can have hands like God. God's hands are always open. I love what Sam said this morning, and even the way we talk about doing a communion. This is a God who is gracious and merciful and open-handed. I love that song we sing too, that Graves into Gardening song. Because he's the only one who can turn graves into garden. Because he owns everything, amen? Amen. Point two, your time, your talents, they too belong to God. The earth is the Lord, but everything in it is the Lord's as well. This is a phrase that sort of highlights sort of how God just, he has dominion over every living and non-living thing. Not only the earth's material resources, but God's in control of all the ecosystems, the creatures, even the human systems that exist. God's in control of them. And that may be hard for us to grasp sometimes, because we see all the injustice of the world and all the things that were going on, and we're just so angry and frustrated. But God is in control of all things. But your time and your talents, They belong to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. This is a passage we know very well, and it's a verse I learned as a young Christian, and it was one of those passages that as I was a college student, that my church leader and campus minister kind of pulled out for me as I wasn't really doing a very good job with my schoolwork. And he read this passage to me in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Everything we do, our time, our work, our talents, all of that belongs to God. All of your talents belong to God. You know, this was I thought that I was sort of this self-made person. I was in college, I was playing sports, and, you know, I thought, you know, when I was asked the question once by a brother, he said, do you ever regret or resent that God has given you this opportunity to be this college athlete? I said, you know, I sometimes do. He said, don't you ever resent, don't ever regret the talents that God has given you. Don't ever regret it. God has put you, giving you the gifts and the talents, whatever they mean. You have them for a reason. Don't resent them. Use those gifts for God. It shifted the way I began to think about myself as a college student, as an athlete, as a scholarship athlete. I was getting a free education, a free ride, we used to call it, to play sports in college. But there were times when I resented it. This brother discipled me, Rhett Spivey, said, don't ever regret the talents and the gifts, because they're not yours anyway. They belong to God. When you look at your talents and your work, when you have the right heart, when you have the right mindset, you know that, man, I owe this to God. I want to put this in God's hand. I want to use this only for Him. I want to use it to build relationships, but I want to use it to change the world for the Lord. Amen. Amen. How do you spend your days? How do you use your abilities? How do you use your talents? Are your talents building God's kingdom? Are your talents, are your gifts, are you using them to build God's kingdom? Because those talents and gifts, they weren't given to you just for you to make money, just for you to have a good life, just for you to prepare yourself to work and to have life easy someday. God wants to use whatever gift you have for Him. It's His anyway, amen?
Amen.
As disciples, we got to honor God with our possessions. Honor God with your talents. Honor God with the opportunities. Acknowledging that, God, you are the rightful owner of whatever I have. Yep. Whether it's singing or dancing, or you have the gift of medicine, as Brendan Caprio does back there, or the 1,000 gifts that Kayla Caprio has. No matter what your gifts are you using them for God? They're not for you. Your talents are not for you. They are for God. Amen. Thirdly, every person belongs to the Lord. The world and all who live in it. You know, every relationship should be one where we recognize this person belongs to God. This is how we're able as disciples to treat all people with dignity. This is how we are as disciples, that we're able to guard each person's dignity and crucify our own pride. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, we're able to know this person belongs to God. Even the most seemingly evil people you know, God can change them as well. I mean, look what God did with Saul in the Bible. Here's a man that is responsible for the death of Christians. I mean, we wouldn't have even let him in the church. Yo, that guy can't come here. God took him because he turns graves into gardens. Every time you read the Bible, God only uses sinners. He only uses the most messed up people. King David, how about that? So let me get this straight. You committed adultery and then had the woman's husband killed who was in your army fighting for you? Yeah, that's great. You should be king of Israel. You should be one of God's top men. Listen, everyone, no matter who they are, they deserve dignity. But this is what we've got to do as a society. We've got to realize this is all God's. All of these people belong to God, no matter who they are. There are people, God, we need to pray for these people accordingly. I know some of us probably didn't like the way the election turned out. I don't like these elections, period, personally. But that person, both of those people, they both belong to God. Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Even them. They belong to God. They belong to God. God's not okay with how you talk about certain people. He's not okay with the way you communicate about other people. See, God is looking, he goes, hey, that person was made in my image. I know they don't act like they're in my image, but I created them. You didn't create them, and so you don't get to talk about them. When we approach life this way, then we're able to take whatever happens in stride. Because we know what? I mean, I hope these people become Christians. It seems impossible. But what if? What if? Wouldn't that be something? No, we wouldn't let him in our church, Vince. Listen, every human, that person you cross on the street, that person. And this has really convicted me and helped me. I'll tell you a quick story. So my son is literally weeks away from getting out of prison. And I've been talking to him on the phone, I've been doing this whole thing, sending him money, talking to him, putting money on his books, all of this stuff. I do this for him. And he is a week to 10 days from getting out. And I keep getting this phone call, this 1-800 number. I keep getting this phone call, and I don't answer because I'm not who. But it doesn't show as spam. And then one day it was not a voicemail, but I just sort of picked it up and it says, will you collect a call from, some prison in Arizona? I'm going, prison in Arizona? Who is this? So anyway, I made a note. Next time the call rang, I picked it up. Who's calling me from a prison in Arizona? I pick it up. It's one of my old college roommates. Oh, wow. One of my college friends, I don't know if we were roommates or not. But a guy I knew in college who was a disciple. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm locked up in Arizona. I'm like, okay, I'm not trying to start a prison ministry, God. What's happening here? I just got done with this, He's like, I wonder if you would put some money on my books and if I could call you every week. I'm going, oh, sure. That's not what I want to be doing. But I thought, you know what? And so now I get to talk to this guy every week. And so my prison ministry will continue at least. I think he's got another 8 years. So, But it just reminded me that as I listened to my son and hear how he was treated and how people are treated in prison. And some of these people, they're criminals. But man, they're not treated with any dignity. No matter what their crimes are, no dignity. But I think God owns it all. God cares enough. And so I should care as well. We have to be the people that care as disciples. Amen. Every person belongs to God. His ownership extends to every person. Every human that exists. God affirms people's dignity, and so should we. God affirms people's worth. He's the only one who can, and so should we. Amen. We should be the ones that are constantly saying, I know it doesn't seem like it now, but you're worth it. And so it's my job for the next 8 years to tell this guy, you're worth something. And when you get out, I'll be there for you. And I got to figure out how somehow to fly out to Arizona and get on, you know, and visit him. But he needs someone to tell him he's worth it because he's got nobody. And if not me, then who? Amen. All people belong to God. It should make us humble. It should make us respectful. And it should make us deal with people in a way that Jesus would. And finally, worship is our response to God's ownership. At the end of the day, we worship. It's how we respond. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Our response to God owning everything should be that we just worship. We're grateful. We fall on our knees. We're happy. We're excited. We worship with happy and excited hearts. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our response to God owning everything should be we offer our whole selves to him. There is nothing I'll hold back from you, God.
Come on.
I will come, I'll worship. Our worship is not just our singing. Our worship, this is part of it, but hopefully whatever we get in here is what we take out there. Amen. Our worship really can, it gets really, really, really effective when we leave here. That people, when they see us, they go, man, who, what is there something about you?
Yeah.
Did you go to church this morning?
Yeah.
Were you worshiping with God this morning? But this is not just we do collectively. This is something we should do every morning when we wake up. We should worship a God who is so deserving.
Yeah.
Because he owns it all anyway. And doesn't that give us so much peace of mind? I'm not in control of it anyway. God owns it all.
Amen.
It's so freeing.
Amen.
It's liberating. Amen?
Amen.
To acknowledge that God, the earth is the Lord. We approach God with this reverence, with the gratitude. And really that Psalm 24, it really is a song of sort of ascent. It is, God, you are amazing. True worship goes beyond singing, praying. It's about offering every aspect of your lives in gratitude to God. So when we talk about money or time or whatever it is, we all should be happy, always excited to worship.
Come on.
You know, in fact, how long should a worship service end? What difference does it make? What difference does it make? We should be in constant worship anyway.
Yeah.
How long is he going to preach? What difference does it make? We should be people that are in constant worship. I just want to, that's all I want to do. If I could just not work and just worship. I don't want to go home and watch the game. I just want to worship.
Oh, yeah.
Better worship of God than worshiping those people. Amen. This verse calls us to surrender our material concerns. Give them up. Give them up. Anything you're holding on so tightly, it's just going to hurt that much more when God has to pry it from your hands. And he will rip it from your hands. So offer your bodies and your lives to him.
Right.
It is true worship. And it is how we respond to this great God that says, you know what? I got all of this. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Right.
He's got you and me, brother.
That's right.
He's got the itty bitty babies. He's got the ants. He's got the galaxies. He's got it all in his hands. And with that, we should have such a heart that is just excited to worship this great God.
Amen.
So as we approach this season of consumerism, Let's approach it with glad and sincere hearts. Amen. But let's offer ourselves to God and not to the world, but to God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, remember, everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope for, it all belongs to God. When we lose focus, when we hold back from giving, when we struggle to believe or trust, when we don't show up or shy away from sharing our faith, we miss the chance to honor God, the God who's calling us to be bold and to be courageous. Together, let's be good stewards of his grace, giving generously, sharing about him boldly, knowing that our lives are part of God's eternal plan to redeem this world. Amen.